Welcome to Pause It, Play It. I'm Josh.
I'm Matt.
I'm Dan.
And Matt's got hiccups.
I certainly have. Oh, there we go.
I can't remember who said it, but I heard somebody say that hiccups are a great leveler in life. Like, Brad Pitt gets hiccups, man. His body is not averse to hiccups, and we've all been there.
Yeah, it's just not nice, is it?
No matter how much money you earn, how gorgeous you are, you're getting hiccups at some point.
Well,
proof. All these things are directed at you, Matt.
Yeah, exactly. Me and Brad Pitt.
I feel like hiccups is something that has happened less the older I've got.
You think they're a hoe?
Yeah, I think hiccups are something from my past, yeah. Do you remember, I don't know if this is just me and this might be really wrong, but when I was like really young, I was really scared of swallowing my tongue. Do you remember that?
No.
I heard of people like swallowing the tongue and I was like, oh my God, what if I'm playing out and that just happens to me, I swallow my tongue.
I don't really understand what it means. Like, so your tongue would like invert and go like...
I think so.
And choke and kill you by not letting you breathe because your tongue was there.
Well, I've actually got the answer to this because I have done a first aid course with St. John.
I thought you were going to say, not only has he got hiccups, he's also swallowed his tongue. But he's done a course. It's all good.
Yeah. So you don't... It's not actually possible to swallow your tongue, but what happens is, because you lose consciousness, you are no longer holding your tongue in place, therefore it falls back and covers up your windpipe, or your trachea, if we're being technical.
Your windpipe.
Well, every day's a school day.
It certainly is.
How are you enjoying Disney Plus, Matt?
I am enjoying it. I've watched all the available episodes of The Mandalorian.
Oh, nice. What do you think?
Hiccup. You know what? It's entertaining. Like, I've not been bored, but I do think it's a bit weak. And I can't put my finger on it. Yeah. Like, I feel like the writing is just a bit weak. Maybe I've not watched enough of it.
A bit. We've got Baby Yoda, so we can do what we want.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've not actually seen it, but...
Yeah, like... I feel like there's some obvious plot devices in it. Again, I can't actually give you an example, which is unfortunate.
Don't worry. It's not a TV review podcast. This will be fine.
Is it not? Wait a second.
I really liked it, but I thought the first two episodes were definitely like... just for world building, and then after that, then it got really good. The one on the I don't want to put any spoilers actually. And no, it's not a spoiler. The one episode where they're all on the spaceship and they do that job. And do you know the one I mean?
No, because you have been naughty, haven't you, and watched them maybe not quite on the correct side of the law.
So I don't know what you possibly mean.
So I think you've probably watched more of it than me.
Because they're not all out, are they, in the UK?
No.
Oh, yeah. Right, then it's a spoiler for you, not just anyone else listening.
Yeah.
Right, well, as they go on, they get better, basically.
I remember when Manny was watching... Oh, Manny's always getting mentions on this. He was watching House of Cards and he was like, oh, it's great, you should watch it. And I was like, holy fucking shit, I can't believe the reporter just got killed by Frank, what the fuck? And he's like, yeah, you just overtook me on House of Cards there. So I don't think... maybe you can't mention House of Cards anymore because allegations.
Yeah.
God damn. Well, allegations.
The other day, I thought to myself, I really want to watch American Beauty, which has got Kevin Spacey in it. Mm. So I checked the old Netflix, and it's not on there. I thought, oh, they're taking it off, aren't they, because Spacey. It's only on now. They've put it on, so they clearly don't care. They're like, it's a mint film, so let's stick it on there, yeah.
But I don't think Spacey is like... it'd be like taking every Harvey Weinstein film off, wouldn't it? I don't know, it's just too much in the culture.
Yeah, you can't do it. What's it called, that one I watched the other day? I didn't narrow it down, does it? True Romance.
Yeah.
That's a Harvey Weinstein film.
Yeah.
Oh, is it? Yeah.
How much of our culture do we deny? I mean, I know Michael Jackson's never had any of the allegations proved.
Do you know what, though? How he's avoided it is...
I know.
And he still has, and it comes back. Every few years, it comes back. Do you know what I was thinking as well? Do you know Big Fat Quiz of the Year? It's going to be such a weird episode this year, because what's it going to be like? Oh, right, in this month, we're locked up in our house, this happened. In this month, we're locked up in our house, this happened. It's going to be like, what are they going to ask you about?
Yeah.
What day of the coronavirus did Boris go to go to hospital? Like, I saw on the YouTube comments under one of the, like, the people who, I can't remember what it was, but it was like, I reckon in a few days Boris is going to be taken to the morgue with mild symptoms of death. Like, likely to be home soon, probs not.
You know what, at first I was a bit like, it's about to become the Tinfoil Hat podcast, but I was like, does he really have it? Does he?
Yeah, I was.
Do you know what?
Go on.
We shouldn't fucking say, because if we, like, because we're in the head, he might be fucking dead by the time we put this.
Yeah, should we do like two things? Like, ah, oh, we're sorry to hear about the passing of Boris. And, well done, Boris, on your full recovery.
Right, we're gonna leave that in, and then on the day before it goes out, I'll edit in which one.
Yeah, because I thought when he got ill and he said he had to self-isolate because he was having symptoms, I thought, he's an unhealthy man. He's under a lot of pressure. If it's coming for someone, it's coming for him and his hot younger girlfriend. So I thought and then he was like, no, I'm fine, mild symptoms, self-isolate. I was like, all right. And then I was like, fucking hell, if Boris could get over it, like... I'm smashing 5K in just under 31 minutes now. That's a reasonable time. I'm going to be all right. Don't worry about me. I'm fine, but like, the next thing is in ICU and I'm like, fucking hell, I better get that time to 25 minutes or I'll be fucked.
In an interview with David Cameron about it, I think it was David Cameron, definitely someone that he used to work with or knows him quite well.
They said, old mate from work, David.
Yeah, despite the way he looks, he's actually a very fit man.
Wow,
that's nice. Like,
yeah, it's like he's you know, keep up at tennis. He's does a lot of running. He's quite fit despite the way he looks.
Kel sent me.
He does look unhealthy.
My wife sent me a picture of a man who was going out on some, like, when you never go for exercise, but Boris says you're allowed to go out once a day, and it was this inappropriately dressed man in like a shirt unbuttoned a load and some Hawaiian shorts, like trying to run with a group of kids. Kel didn't realise that it was Boris Johnson. Like, that was like part of the meme, and I was like, yeah, that's Boris. She's like, oh, well, I just thought it was some guy who was like taking the opportunity to do some exercise. Like, no, that's Boris. There he is, what a legend.
Do you know what? Them Hawaiian shorts, it's not, they don't happen to be red and white. Do they buy any chance?
I think like a pinky white, and he's got like a polo on top.
If you want something awful for me, I have those Hawaiian shorts.
Yes, he's got the Boris shorts.
And it gets worse. Oh, it gets worse. I have the same suit as Tommy Robinson.
I've always had you pegged as a racist, Josh.
Could you? I saw him wear that and I was like, I am never wearing that again.
Which suit is it?
Is this like blue check one?
Top Man did all the clothing for Celebrity Juice for a while. Top Man, Top Shop. So I have multiple blazers worn by Keith Lemon.
Yeah, man, that's pretty cool though. Keith Lemon on Tommy Robinson. Oh my god.
Yeah, I guess I don't think either of them are cool.
Yeah,
they're
the shorts.
I think you'd. Yeah. No, I agree. I totally picked Tommy. Oh, do you hiccup?
Have we been listening to it good this week?
Just my own hiccups as of today. You know what? I've been listening to... We covered it last week, but I've been listening to a lot of Chilled Cow.
Did you get that off my recommendation, or were you on that already?
No, I was on it already.
Come on. Tell us. Come on.
No, I was on it already.
No.
You know who got me onto it?
Hey.
Tommy Robinson.
No. Jess from Penis.
Ah, what a great band.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, there's an all-female three-punk three-piece that me and Josh have been to see a couple of times.
It's spelled P-E-A-N-E-S-S. You check him out, they're really good.
Yeah. Hey, they've taken the same approach to it as Junior as to his Instagram handle.
Yeah.
Hey, what's your Instagram handle, bro?
Insert sideshow Bob noise when he stands on the rig.
Do you know what? I've listened to loads of Angels and Airwaves because I watched the documentary on Tom DeLonge.
Oh, nice.
Was it the
Pursuit of Tone?
Was it the Peter McKinnon one? Or was it?
I don't know who made it.
Pursuit of.
It's called Pursuit of Tone. Yeah, yeah.
It sounds like it would have been made by one of his signature guitar companies or amps or something.
I thought that, but there is way. I thought it was just going to be him sat there playing his guitar for like an hour and a half, but it's not. You know, it's just all about his like life and music life. It's really good. Also, like coming back around to topic as well, but Two Time by the 1975, I'd listened to it so much. I think it's my most listened to 1975 song, you know.
Oh.
Gee, it's crazy that song because if you take away, well, obviously we'll get onto it in a future podcast, but take away the 1975 from that song and all the authenticity that they bring.
Yeah,
Justin Bieber could sing that song, and it wouldn't be your most played song on Spotify.
Yeah, what song were they gonna? They wrote and they were gonna. Were they gonna give to One Direction or Harry Styles or someone? Wasn't the sound, was it? Oh God,
can't see Harry Styles getting away with going like mentioning philosophers and stuff.
Yeah,
Socratic, Drunk and Wannabe. Yeah.
It was very that album, wasn't it? But I think it is the sound. If I'm wrong, email in or tweet us.
That's it. Maybe I should get more like contact with people, purposely get shit wrong. Are you idiots?
So they can tell us.
It's not called chocolate. Oh, wait, no. we'll get the name wrong of chocolate.
Oh, that confectionery song. Cake.
It's like that thing where the closest thing to being a ghost is when you listen to a podcast and the people on it don't know something that you know.
That's deep.
Should we get into it?
All right.
So today we are talking about the third track from the first 1975 album, Money. Drink slow to feed the nose. You know he likes to get blown.
Has he got enough money to spend? Or is it M-O-N-E-Y?
Yeah.
I think from Josh's reaction there, he doesn't think it is M-O-N-E-Y. Yeah.
But then, well, is it like...
I mean, for ease of... talking about it, I'm not going to suggest we call it M-O-N-E-Y each time.
But then he does... In the song, they do both say M-O-N-E-Y and money, so... It's something else that's open to interpret.
We already at media studies. It is. GCSE. Already. Okay.
Already. Right, so let's get into it. So, yeah, release is part of the album, as we know. However, this song was premiered before the album.
Go on, Josh, drop it on me. Because I think I've got a fact for you that you aren't going to fucking know. But come on. Come on.
Oh, my God. I've got Google on my side.
You were there, man.
So, it was a magazine called Prefix Magazine premiered the song. And it was a SoundCloud link. Which was on the 29th of August 2013. So, what, the album came out on the 2nd of September, so it's just a few days before. But not a single, but a pre-album release.
Well, and, I never did not know that.
I know. So let's just, hang on, just before we get into it more, Prefix, let's just see where this magazine's from. Because you'd think if they were going to do something like that, they'd do it with... So it's New York. It's a New York magazine. So they've got an exclusive there. It's surely something to do with Dirty Hit, isn't it? So, well, yeah, they've got an exclusive album track there. Good on them.
Good for him.
That was a little thing for a while, though, wasn't it? Giving individual blogs the first play of songs.
Yeah.
Let me tell you this shocking news.
Go on, I'm sat down.
I don't know the dates, right? Maybe this website had it before, but the 1975 went in to do a Hugh Stevens session. They played The City and two other songs. They might play The City and Chocolate during the EP era. And those songs made it to air, but they also played Money live. And I didn't say there's an extra song if you go online or anything, but if you went on the Radio 1 website, it was there, and you could play it, and it had a different verse, and I used to have a ripped version of it, and I don't have it anymore. And I've just googled Money 1975 Hugh Stevens session, and not got anywhere with it, because it basically didn't exist. It wasn't, but so when Money came out, I thought I knew the words because I had this rip of it, and didn't. They changed a full verse.
Which verse was it? Which verse didn't?
I don't remember. I should have been like, actually, Josh, it was the second verse. Yeah, that was totally new. But not 100%. And there's another version of it out there. And maybe there's fans of 1975 out there who are more obsessed than us. And maybe you've got it. Send it in.
I dare say that there are fans more obsessed than us that will have it.
Yeah.
Not obsessed enough to start a podcast, though, are they?
I saw on Twitter that someone, as a birthday present to the girlfriend, gave her a memory stick with every single demo and all song of the 1975 they could find online.
Last of the big spenders.
Matt is getting married in October, so if anybody wants to gift him with a memory stick.
You know what? That would be great. I would greatly appreciate that. I'm not sure my future wife would.
Right. So they played... When was this? This is before the album done.
So what I have discovered is, in pursuit of this... I told you what I just googled. The first thing is, here the 1975's first ever Made a Veil session from 2012. And maybe it's that. But I don't know. There's no track listing and I can't listen to it. But last replayed in May 18. It's mad though, that, isn't it? I've got no proof of that, you know. I've got no, like, tant that I... Just, I know that the one of the verses, I think really half of one of the verses was different. And it's like, whoa.
Yeah, so it says here, Hugh Stevens, Made a Veil 2012. Episode is currently not available. Mm. So it's in the archives somewhere.
Oh, well, we need to get contact at the BBC that might be able to get hold of that for us.
Oh, do you know what? I actually might have one, you know.
Laddie,
if you managed to pull that out, Jesus.
Do you know what? I'm gonna message. I've got a BBC guy. If we can get that live, and that's our big scoop for this podcast, I'll be happy with that. Right. What we've not actually said. What do we think of the song?
I like it. Obviously, I just love this whole album from start to finish. And to reference my High Fidelity reference from the other week. I think this is the correct song to follow the banger.
Yeah,
that is The City, because it brings it down a bit. It would never be a single, would it? It's not the strongest one, but it is still good. And I do. We'll get on to the lyrics, won't we? I like it, but that will be a recurring theme.
Yeah, I really like it as well. I agree that it's a great follow up to The City. It's that proper guitar and B close quotation marks Matthew Healy 2012 or whatever he said it. It's that proper, this is just more of what we're taking from. It's the hip hop stuff, it's the R&B stuff, all these electronic sounds, and he's almost like rapping in parts.
Yeah. I love the rap.
Yeah, I think the feel of the song is great, and I really like you say, the lyrical content, but it's one of those songs where it gives you like a real feel of what it's about.
Yeah.
Dan?
I feel like it really paints a picture. I know, sorry you asked Dan then, but I feel like I need to get that in.
It's funny because a lot of the songs about cocaine, and you will talk over each other when you're on that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so listen, told. Come on. In the context of the album, it's not a standout track, is it? But it is a cool track, and I think if it was somebody else, it would probably stand out to me a bit more, as it'd be a great track for them. But for the 1975, it's not my favourite. I think it's quite experimental. Yeah. I think it harps back to the EP tracks, you know, to the more synthy stuff, and they're bringing that in a little bit. I like the way Adam's guitar's almost like sampled when he's like,
it's crazy, like, isn't it? Yeah.
So I think that's really cool, and they've like messed with it. But I almost feel like it's like, oh, we've experimented with this and made this. Can it go on the album? And it's like, all right. But then I think also they've almost like made a beat for Matt, and then he's gone away and gone, yeah, I've wrote some sick lyrics to this, actually. Made it a song. It's not just like us experimenting anymore. It's, I think, and it is.
So going back to, like, Danny mentioned the EPs then and, like, the whole inception of the song. So at the Deaf Institute gig that all the videos are uploaded to on YouTube that you two were at, they played this.
Did they?
That was 6 months before the release of the album. So it's definitely been knocking around for a while, the song, hadn't it, before?
Yeah, and they were clearly keen on it in a way that they weren't on, like, if you imagine they must have written those EP tracks, and if you're messing about with your electronic skills and stuff, that this came out of that, and they must have thought, this is what's graduated, this is the culmination of it, this is going on the album, the others are going on the EPs. So yeah, I think, and then to play it at that live session, not that I can prove it, but they did. I think it must have meant a lot to him.
Yeah. And also the fact that they put it, like we said about The City being the first song really that the masses would hear, the mainstream would hear if they bought the album. This is the second song that they would hear. So if you're thinking about track listing, then you're thinking that they must have sought a certain amount of it to put it second. Because obviously people are going to tail off towards the end of the album, which is what happens.
Yeah.
So to put it there in between, what is it, The City and Chocolate?
Yeah.
I hope that's right.
Yeah.
Like you say, they must have thought a lot of it.
But that does follow the peaks and troughs system, doesn't it, of, you know, how to do a good DJ set, how to put a good playlist together, how to put an album together. You need those peaks and troughs. As much as Sum 41 claimed it was all killer, no filler.
All killer, no filler. There you go, Josh. That'll be a sync moment.
You do need an element of filler tracks, don't you? If you had all killer, it's just flat, isn't it? You know where I'm going with that. You know where I'm going with this.
Yeah, we're with it. We're with it.
I know, but that album is all killer, no filler, and it's, you know. Yeah. To its detriment, where were the slow bits of 41?
The seas have parted, ending started, the sky has turned to black.
Pain for pleasure.
He's the hunter and you're the game.
Okay, maybe there was a trough.
That's not a trough, that's a great song.
Peak. The peak is
We've outed ourselves as early noughties moshers that we obviously are.
But yeah, especially with peaks and troughs, like, look at the peak that comes right after it, man.
Yeah. And I do love a little sample on it. Yes. I was just trying to think of, like, the moment it comes in. I can't believe that we're talking about him.
Bloop. Bloop.
Searching your Jaws love the place.
So, looking at it live, just looking at the way they play it, obviously, George is playing a lot of the electronic pads on it. Adam and Matty are both playing the guitars, but it looks like Ross is doing a lot of the samples, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's no clear bass part on it, so if you had to lose somebody to this, it makes sense. Yeah.
Give it to Jamie Squire.
What I think as well is that a lot, even though it's such an electronic song, it feels like they're recreating a lot of those sounds live. Like, even though it's a sample pad that Ross is playing, Adam is still playing those weird affected guitar parts live. There's clearly, he's got some like setting or some like pedal setup to do that. Matty's playing the bits. And like George is playing the sort of samples on the kit. He's not it's not just a backing track and they're just filling in the blanks, you know. They're really leading the song with like the live versions of the instruments.
I'm just watching the live one at Deaf Institute. He's like, give it up for Catfish at the Bottom, man. They're on before us.
Ah, oh, it's so funny, though.
It is, yeah. It just makes me feel sorry for Little Comets, though. Like, they're probably not the arse because their style of music is never going to get them global success. And they're probably very comfortable with that. But considering the 1975 and Catfish and the Bottlemen have both supported Little Comets, it must be a bit of a kick in the teeth.
Do you remember Matty tweeted ages ago saying that after the whole campaign for Notes on a Conditional Form was over, that he wanted to do a gig every night of the week. He was going to do a different gig. All of them. We're going to do a different gig, and it was going to be each era. So like one night it was going to be the EPs, one night the first album, one night, and then so on.
Okay.
I was like, probably if they were going to do it, it was going to be in the O2. But I was thinking, like, imagine they did something like that in, like, Deaf Institute.
Oh, I do remember that, yeah.
Because they did a time, before the third album release, they did this tiny venue in London. It's on YouTube. And it's literally, like, there's, like, no stage set up. It's just, like, tiny. And I was just thinking, like, oh, God, if they did something like that again in Manchester, of all places. I mean, we can't get tickets to the arena show, so we wouldn't have a chance, would we? But it'd be so good, something like that, wouldn't it?
It does make me feel, I don't know if pride is the correct term, but like, yeah, I suppose it is, like, yeah, buzzing. When I was at school, all I ever wanted was to say that I've seen a band go from nothing, from support slots or just no one's heard of them, to global success, and I managed that twice with the 1975 and Catfish in the Bottlemen. And I just think, nice one. I'm so smug and proud of it.
Yeah.
I've made special effort to see them both when they were small. It's not like just happened to catch them. So, yeah, I feel really proud of myself for those two.
It's awesome that Pete Eckhart or whatever managed to capture the moment as well. Like, we can go revisit that forever, thanks to that guy.
Even to Adam Gunn.
His YouTube name. And yeah, I know what you mean. Like, there's just certain moments like that that are just, oh my God, this is so special. I've had two with Blink, because they finished an arena tour and then played the Hammersmith Apollo and the Manchester Apollo, and I saw them at the Manchester Apollo and it was unreal.
In fact, Dan, tell that story of how you got the ticket for the Apollo, because it was a good story. Okay.
Yeah, so it sold out and we were gutted and I was like, shit, like, I didn't know they were doing that. I'd not followed Blink properly. I've been a bad fan, do you know what I mean? I was there like for the self-titled album, Take Off Your Pants and Jacket, and after that, I wasn't as bothered. And so I found out my mates were going, and I was devastated, so jealous. And it turned out, at least back then, that when the promoters released the tickets, they already hold some back to give to resellers like Viagogo and...
Seatwave.
Who else? What other? Live Nation? Seatwave? Yeah.
Seatwave, yeah. They don't exist anymore, I don't think.
But if the best seats in the house he'd reserve, and if those tickets didn't sell for like three times what the face value should have been, on the day they got released back to the box office, so the gig was sold out in theory. And on the day, we got to walk past all the touts who were selling, it was sold out, and walk straight into the box office at the Manchester Apollo and buy tickets for the best seats in the house at face value for £20. Unreal. And it was awesome.
I can't believe that. And then the other one, are you going to say, was Castlefield Bowl?
Castlefield Bowl, mate, yeah. Unreal.
I couldn't go to that one.
You decided you no longer wanted to work in a bar?
Yeah. Full time, because it's a Friday night. And I couldn't get it off. And there was some bullshit reason as to why I couldn't. And I was like, I can't believe that I can't go and see Blink at Castlefield Bowl because I've got to work this Friday night.
Did you get to the Apollo one?
No, I was on the same tour, but I went to the arena one.
Yeah.
But I was sad, but it was a great seat, you know. So.
Yeah.
Neighbourhoods, underrated album. I wrote something about it online, actually. I wrote an article about how great Neighbourhoods is. So. Breaking news. This just in. This is our new, it's our new feature, Breaking News.
We need a sound
effect.
I'm
going to set up my MIDI keyboard to like play little jingles. Boop, boop. News.
We found it. We found the alternative version of money. Do you know what? Like, as big of a fan of a band you can be, there's still stuff that you will find that you did not know. So we found a YouTube search. What did you say? The 1975 Money Live with Alterna ended.
Yeah.
Shout out YouTube.
Drive like I did.
There you go. YouTube person. YouTube channel owner.
Yeah. Drive like I did. That's the name of the channel. Thank you, Drive Like I Did.
You should put on there like a link back to Pause It Play. Like, I like the. Do you ever see like when people. Things get referenced and then there's a YouTube video and you see like things like who's here because of this reference
yeah,
and like.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
A like, 7 year old YouTube video or whatever.
Yeah.
Maybe people will do that. Maybe. Guys, listeners, please, do that.
Please do that. That'll be really good. We should take this time, just so I mention it, like a massive thanks to everyone who has listened so far from like around the world.
Yeah,
well. It's done. We've been getting like we've been surprised at how well we've been doing, that people have been listening, so that is great. Thank you again to everyone. Yeah, give us a follow on Twitter. We're at the 1975 pod, or you can search Pause It Play It, and drop us an email as well, which is pauseitplayitpod@gmail.com.
Sick.
Shall we do while we're doing a bit of housekeeping, Dan, do you want to do our weekly feature of when was George Daniels last seen on WhatsApp?
George feature. Daniels last seen. Can I have a lo-fi drum roll, please? Oh, wait, you're going to have to keep it up for a second. Keep going.
I feel like Travis Barker.
George Daniels last seen was today at 11:27. Today, though, it's real. It's happening. Unless he's giving his old phone to his mum.
Yeah, that did cross my mind, but...
That's a good point. But let's not ruin the magic.
No, let's not.
No, because you wouldn't give your mum your old number. Mum, like, some girls that I met at Deaf Institute keep texting me, drop my number. You'd at least change a number for your mum, wouldn't you? She doesn't need to be seeing them boobies.
She doesn't. Or does she?
Or does she?
Right, money. Should we go back in?
All right. Mm-hmm.
Shall we? Have we got anything else to say before? Because lyrics is usually the last thing we do, isn't it? Mm. So, shall we? Oh, do you know what? Should we talk about hearing it live? Do you two remember hearing it live?
Not overly.
No, okay, if you imagine like when we were hearing it in those unreal venues before the album, it's a song that we wouldn't have known, and even then, I guess, we probably weren't like, whoa, play us something new. We were probably like, we're already massive fans, and we know we have hits that we want to hear, and who are you? Fuck off. Play Robbers. Do you know what I mean? So, not that it was disappointing, but even at that stage, pre-album, it would have been like, play the hits, I think, because I would have had a few drinks.
Yeah.
So I when you said out that they played it at Deaf Institute, I was surprised. Like, if you would have asked me if they played it, I'd have said I don't think so.
Yeah, same.
So
it wasn't a seminal moment for us.
I think it's interesting that this song just seems to have been played quite a lot live. So they did the Deaf Institute. They played it there. That was 2013. They played it the following year at Glastonbury when they did the Glasgow set. Sorry, that was 2014, 2013 before at Deaf Institute. But then they did the... When they released the video from the O2, so this is at the end of the second album, they did the YouTube video of the O2 set and they released like the live tracks as well. They played it then?
Oh, no way. Nice one.
Mate, I didn't even know Catfish in the Bottom and played that gig, honestly. Yeah. That's awesome, though. That now that you filled me in, I will be using that to my advantage and telling that story to people who don't care.
Yeah, Sean and Laura got a demo CD handed to them of Catfish the Bottom End by the manager.
Holy shit, do they have it?
Wow. Yeah.
That's cool.
Isn't it?
Tune in next week to the Catfish and the Bottom End podcast.
Do you know what, though? I think about of all the bands that we've seen, like, you know, in tiny venues, I think Penis, you know, they could get really big.
Yeah, I do as well.
Maybe you have to change the name.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's
I
not.
Think penis could. I think they could grow in size.
Growers.
Rolls.
Just looking at the stats on setlist.com, setlist FM. Sorry, my favourite thing to do. They only played it once in 2019, and it does seem to have diminishing returns. But 2016, they played it 41 times, and that was the year of the second album, wasn't it? So. Played it in 2014. This was a staple of that live set, and then obviously 2013, a year before. So around that time, it was a big one for them live, and it sort of dropped out of rotation now. And it doesn't. It's weird. It doesn't look like it's in. They've got that group, haven't they, of songs that are like Undo. They drop that in Menswear. They drop that in stuff like that. It doesn't feel like it's in that group of songs.
I was just watching from the Deaf Institute show, She Way Out, on YouTube.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm going to say, Dan? You can hear us doing the call and response.
Yeah. No way!
Yeah,
you can, especially... I don't know whether it's narcissistic or just some self-awareness that I'm such a loud arsehole, but it's best. It's like they've side-chained it against my voice.
So check that out if you're listening at home. Find, if you were to put into YouTube, the 1975 She Way Out live from a guy called Adam Gunn. You can hear us at like the 1 minute 13-ish mark. We're doing some call and response with Matty Healy. No.
Do you know what? I think, like, you know, when you used to do interviews with, like, famous people and they sort of ask you, like, how do you feel about so much of your life being on camera? I always think, like, that would be great because... Like you say, so many important moments of your life are on camera.
Yeah.
You can always go back and like look at them. It's like I sort of make a point almost to sort of put loads of Instagram stories on. I say loads. People put like even more on than me. Because like then, I'm always going to have my Instagram account. Like I might not always have a phone with pictures on, but you know what I mean? And then I can look back at like parts of my life and I was like, yeah, that's what that was like. I mean, looking back in a few years, oh yeah, lockdown, that wasn't that interesting, was it? Shall we... Oh, do you know what? Just on setlist.com, this is very Blink-155, but it looks like someone's done a cover version of it. A band called Hey Karen.
I have been looking for covers of it that, you know, aren't just people trying to get famous in the bedrooms.
What?
Indirect.
Excuse me.
Oh yeah, that's us. I was the way I found that alternative ending was because I was just trying to find bands that had done covers of it.
Should we talk some more about money?
Yeah.
Do you want to get into the lyrics?
Yes.
Because these lyrics are great.
Yeah, they are.
We touched on it earlier, Matt. You said it really tells a story, but I think in comparison to The City, this is... No, The City's lyrics are obviously good, but this is like... I think this is a really well-written song.
Yeah, the most specific out there, The City is quite vague and open to interpretation, whereas I feel like this is... It's a night out, or several nights out.
Yeah. So
I go on.
I was gonna say
keep it high level for now.
Just going on the for now. Just going on the genius stuff. Some have speculated that this song is semi autobiographical description of lead singer Matty, who had problems with cocaine in his youth. Yeah, it is about that. It's that thing again, like we said, it's you know, the amount of songs they're writing about like taking drugs, going on nights out, probably knocking around Manchester. It's just another one of those, but I think it just captures it perfectly, doesn't it? And I think as well, they've got that balance right of if you think about the concept of writing a song about going out on like a night out, that could be so like, it can be so, that could easily be so like lame and corny, couldn't it? But they've sort of got that. It's not too sort of negative about it, and it's not too sort of celebratory of the whole thing. It's just a really accurate and honest representation of like what these things are like.
I really love that, you know, the rich, and we've talked before about him, you know, liking So Far, It's All Right, getting out there ahead of people taking the piss out of him.
Yeah.
It's about rich kids, and it's about girls worrying that guys haven't got enough money. Isn't that like, where's the fucking line? Do you know what I mean? He hates it when the girls go, yeah? Has he got enough money to spend? Because I just like that as a whole vibe that he's sort of, I don't know, he's sort of saying that the girls will be wanting the guys to maybe look for the right amount of money. They certainly don't want to be held back by them. And he's, I think he's sort of saying, yeah, I'm from Wilmslow, I'm one of the rich kids, and we've got enough money to spend, and you better be able to keep up with us if you come out of us. And that's just, imagine being the guy that didn't have enough money to spend with them guys. So that's quite a dark thing.
Yeah, it would. This kind of reminds me of a bit of, loosely reminds me of a story of a Beatles tour of Australia. So the Beatles toured Australia and Ringo was ill. So they got a replacement drummer in for that tour. Mm. And it made him bankrupt because the Beatles introduced him to a life that once he was off tour, he wanted to continue but couldn't afford it. So he went bankrupt. Yeah. So yeah, it is kind of...
60s.
It would be difficult if you're mates with Matt Healy to keep up with his spending. But saying that, I mean, just kids from Wilmslow don't necessarily mean that he's got plenty of money. You know what I mean? It doesn't mean Tim and Denise were handing the cash out or any of the other parents were giving him handouts.
Do you think it might, like, in the way that he sometimes writes about himself almost in the third person, that people were worried about him not having enough money to spend?
Yeah, maybe. Let's say that's what it was. Yeah, because he had that...
Like, ooh, that sounds clever, yeah.
He had that job, didn't he, delivering Chinese. So, I mean, they're not going to be paying him much.
Oh, true.
I think a third opinion, it might be that, you know, it's that whole people's worth to do with their money. Like, if it's... Obviously, people on a night out, obviously, they want to look cool. But then if you're directly... The representation of that is, if you have money, you are cool and you have worth. And it's people saying like, do I have the money to show my worth and look cool?
Yeah.
Do you think that's more about like, is he rich enough? Is he on our level? Or like, because I've always interpreted it as like, right now, is he going to hold us back? Is he going to be like, let's not go to the cocktail bar because he doesn't have enough money? Or like, where... As opposed to somebody saying, he's not rich enough to chill with me.
Yeah, like, you've got... Your night out has got to cater for the poorest common denominator.
You're as strong as your weakest link.
Yeah. But maybe it's just like... Maybe we're overthinking it. Maybe it's a case of... The man loves to go
That's
out.
That's what we're here for.
He just likes to go out doing coke, smoking weed. Has he got enough money to actually... buy some coke.
Sustain that lifestyle, yeah.
Yeah.
I like, just before we'll get into like line by line and stuff, but there's, like we said before, it's really sort of like, you can see the sort of, well, it's like the R&B influences and stuff like that, particularly in the way he's singing, but it's also the way the lines are phrased. So you get this a lot in hip-hop and stuff where they play around with the phrasing of like a sentence and of a word to make it flow better.
Yeah.
And the great example of this is in the third line where it's leave, no, he's to and from. He doesn't like it when the girls go. Like, you wouldn't... That's not a conversational lyric. You wouldn't say leave, no. You wouldn't say that, would you? But the way it works in the song, it just works really well, especially in the flow of that whole verse. And then you get that sort of the repeated line, has he got enough money to spend after it?
No, I see what you're saying, yeah. It's not as conversational and as real as he is in some songs. It's like quite stylized and for effect.
Yeah, that's...
Junior, can you check the sleeve for that line? Like, I've always heard, leave, no, he's to and fro, like that phrase. It's not cliche, is it? But it's like a turn of phrase.
Yeah.
He's to and fro, like all over the place.
Yeah,
like,
that's what it is, because that's what I heard as well.
I'm on Genius, and it says to and from, but I don't think it's right.
No, it's definitely not. It's to and fro.
Is that in the sleeve?
Yeah.
Do you know,
God, fuck you, Genius.
I heard fro, but I just thought that was one of those things where I'm hearing that, but it's from. I don't know why. Yeah, that's actually is fro.
Yeah. It's very colloquial, isn't it? That I don't think you'd get any other English speakers saying it. I don't know, actually. I can imagine maybe Australians or New Zealanders might say to and fro, but I suppose what I'm getting at is I can't imagine Americans or Canadians going to and fro.
Yeah. To and fro. Yeah, what an odd line to include, because it doesn't even need to... Oh, it was rhyming with... When the girls go, isn't it?
Yeah.
So he does need it, but... Yeah.
Well, you've got... Okay. This is really well written, but like in the first part, drink slow to feed the nose, you know he likes to get blown. You've got both rhymes there, and then it's leave, no, he's to and fro, isn't like it when the girls go. And then you've got like the three rhymes of that O sound.
Mm.
And that just works so well with the sort of repeated line of has he got enough money to spend coming after it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really well written. As we've already covered.
And I think as you know, this was, we heard, what, if they played this for Hugh Stevens in 2012, this is predating a lot of the EP stuff, this, so.
Yeah. Yeah, fair point. Just to go back, I feel like the lyrics document a night out, so I'm going to go back to the money, and I feel like that's possibly at pre-drink stage or before the night has even begun, and people are going like, you're coming out, can you afford this? Just like, I think that's what it is.
Yeah, that's how I've always interpreted it, like a group of people going like, my mate's coming out like tonight, so that's all right, isn't it? Well, I don't know, you tell me if it is. Has he got enough money to spend?
Yeah, he's a bit of a mess.
I'm not going some shit fucking bar with him because he can't afford to go where I want to go, where all the Chan is and the footballers.
See, do you know what? I've not thought of it as that. I thought of it as the, has he got enough money to spend? It's the self-doubt of the protagonist thinking people think that about him or them.
Yeah, see, where Dan mentioned more high class bars, I didn't even cross my mind. I think it's just someone that is a bit of a mess, and it's like they've got no money whatsoever, so it doesn't even matter if it's, you know, Grand Pacific or 42s. the guy's got no money, so why is he coming out? And obviously then
he's
it goes into next verse, the actual night out, isn't it? It's going off because they're not going to let him in. Put his trainers on, aren't he? Forgot to put his socks over his trainers. Can't get him.
Fucking hell, Manny.
Can't get him Coco's now. Rochdale reference.
Socks over his trainers.
Yeah, back in the day, that used to be a thing.
Did it?
Yeah, when people, like, generally people just wore black socks, or men used to wear black socks. So if you're out in Littleborough, Google it. And then you want to go to Rochdale and you've not got your trainers, sorry, you've not got your shoes on, you put your black socks over your trainers and the bouncers wouldn't pick up on it.
You know what? I hate that rule. No trainers in a clinic, you got to wear shoes. because that, I think that has directly contributed to that, that genre of straight white man who wears straight leg blue jeans and black school shoes on nights out.
Yeah. Jeans and shoes.
Chelsea boots.
Yeah. It's weird though, because I totally not relevant, but I, Manny's the same as you, and he'll be like, oh, why can't I wear trainers? They look nice. But I'm just like, because you can look smart and dressed up. Or, and you can also look like that in trainers if you're like fucking box fresh looking, like some nice like white Vans or something, you turned up at a club, but like then it's like, where do they draw the line? Like, well, I'm out in my fucking sparkly Asics, let me in. And it's like, no, mate. Do you know what this means, Josh? Tabs with unlimited O's.
No, I don't. I don't know what that means.
Tabs. I don't know.
I thought, oh, do you not know?
No, I don't know, no. What's... Oh, you were joking. Like, it's really obvious.
No, I don't know. I thought you were, I thought you knew, you were seeing if I did.
No, I'm just looking at the lyrics now going, I don't know what that means. Because tabs, you got, like, smoking tabs, aren't you?
Yeah.
O's, smoke rings, maybe? I don't know.
Have you pressed the genius annotation?
No.
Oh.
Here's the answer. Tabs, yeah, bar tab, okay. Excessive bar tabs with unlimited zeros. No, okay. Tabs with unlimited O's. In the context of this song cover, the man's spending habits further highlight how desperate he is for attention. Running out of you money see. Means he also runs out of ways to buy friendship. Oh! I just think they don't want to be held back by him. Not that he's buying a friendship. Who is this dark person? Can we?
Who is the protagonist of this song? And is he still knocking around Manchester?
I mean, who's this dark person who's writing it on Genius?
So is that what they're suggesting? That he's trying to buy friends?
Yeah.
Yeah, see, to me, it's he can't afford to buy anything. So he's not buying
friends.
Yeah,
I think he's... Yeah, that's, and the thing is, this was written by a British person from Manchester, albeit South Manchester, and there are cultural differences. But I think we're best placed to interpret this song. So fuck you, Hawks, Squanto, Young Dramatic, and C Judge 90. Who are you?
Should we mention something about the fact that it's basically a rap. This part, isn't it? It's a bloody rap.
Yeah,
it's a good old rap.
Which is, I think that's a very British thing to do, isn't it? Refer to a zero as an O.
So on the Genius lyrics, it's written as a capital O, the letter O, but and I couldn't get my head around it, even though I'm very qualified to interpret this song. In the things it's saying, unlimited zeros, like it's, you can have a bar tab with just more money. How did you interpret the tabs with unlimited O's, Matthew Junior Collins, Esquire?
Yeah, as that. So bar tab has no limit, but okay. Tabs is also a name for a cigarette, isn't it? So
that's what I thought.
Whether you can have cigarettes with unlimited O's, I don't think so.
I said O's like smoke rings.
Ah, oh, there we
Listen,
go.
Listen, I did media studies A level, bro. Got a B.
There we go. See, that links in with him charming the girls as well.
In the smoking area.
Yeah.
Bumming the smoke.
Yeah.
I love how this part of the song ends. Like, you've got the sort of the fast phrase rap bit, and then it ends with that "I can't believe that we're talking about him" line. I really like how that drops in, and then I think you get that whoop sound. Whoop. Don't you?
Yeah. I feel like every line in this song is worth mentioning. That could get boring to people, but I would happily just go through every line and say something about it.
What were so you mentioned last week that there was quite a few lines in this that you got wrong.
Yeah, misheard lyrics. I don't know why it's taken me seven years since this came out.
It is. Six and a half.
I can't believe it's taken me 6.5 years to have a look at the sleeve and check out the lyrics.
But the thing is, you don't want to know the truth. We were there. We knew what the lyrics were when we were singing them.
Well, yeah.
And you don't want to find out that you're wrong and be like, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
But here we are doing it on the podcast live because everything that you said, I agreed with.
A broken half a glass has opened up his chin. See, I just never really... I didn't have a guess about that. I just knew chin. I couldn't really get to grips with any other part of that sentence. And then the next line, he thinks he's hard. I got that, no problem. What I thought was powered by the taste of gin is actually a powdered mouth that tastes of gin. So that was a bit of a surprise for me.
What about he thinks it's hard? He thinks he's hard, and they're not going to let him in. Or is that later on?
No, that's earlier on, isn't it? It's going off because they're not going to let him in. Second verse. Mm. 2.5. The boy is rushing out of his skin.
I like that. He takes her arm, jumps the bar, and now he's in. I always had an image of, do you know, Factory in Manchester with a smoke. The queue went directly past the smoking area.
Yeah, it did.
So if you could jump, the barrier, you were in. And I always like associated that line with that.
That so makes sense, wouldn't it? Like that whole Factory, Fifth Ave, Satan's area.
Oh yeah, and then he barks. So after line, he's just been barred for that blues he was smoking. And then he barks, it's my car I'm sleeping in. So I didn't know that line. And then he barks, it's my car I'm sleeping in. So he's got enough money for a car, but maybe he's homeless. Maybe he actually lives in his car.
See, I think that goes back to the whole buying friendship thing, though. And the sort of money equals worth / does not equal worth thing. Or theme of the song. If there's someone trying to flash the cash and then there's the constant doubt of people thinking, has he got enough money to spend? And then really, no, he sleeps in his car.
Yeah.
And I've tried sleeping in my car once. Would not recommend.
Cold.
It is. It's the story of a mess, isn't it?
A mess, yeah.
It's the night out and you're just like, for fuck's sake. And anyone who has been to Factory in Manchester, if... we're saying it might be about that place. You lose sight of your mates. You lose sight of your mates for 15 seconds in there. You're not seeing them for the rest of the night, mate.
Absolutely not.
It's gone. You knew. We warned you. 15 seconds over. Your responsibility. And you just feel the tension. The whole song's full of like the speed of it and like the weird sort of guitar parts. There's a weird tension to the whole song, I think, and it really tells that story of being on a night out, maybe grinding your teeth a little bit and almost going, I wish I were at home. No, it's not the story of a good night out, is it?
No, but oh shit, hiccups are back.
Oh, he's back.
Oh, the hiccups are back. One of the best nights out I've ever had was in Factory. And we'd just been to the 975.
Oh, you've been there.
What venue. Oh. But we went, I think it was a Thursday night, went to see the 975, then we went to Factory. It wasn't very busy, but it was busy enough for atmosphere, but there was enough room to like chill and dance and stuff. And oh, it was just such a great night.
Just looking at the lyrics at the end, it's just, I don't know if I include this, but it just happens to say broken phone, which I think is a good example of something not being too of its time.
Yeah. Yeah, I know what you mean.
Specifically,
I don't. What do you mean, Josh?
I mean, it's broken. The fact that someone's dropped a phone on the floor on a night out is such a modern thing, isn't it?
Ah, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it's not going into that too specifically. Do you know what I mean?
It does definitely say, though, that it's after the 3310 era because people would be like, how? What do you mean?
So just go in. I think this is the first time we've mentioned this before, but this song was sampled by Travis Scott on a song called Don't Play. And it's weird. So if you listen to the song, it's not good. It's strange. So what happens on the song is it builds up a bit. You've just got the sort of the hip hop instrumentation. These like huge synths. It's building up, and then all of a sudden, just like this, like a hook. Then all of a sudden, it's just like the chorus of Money just starts, just the isolated vocal. It just doesn't gel at all. It's really out of place. It's just like it's been pasted over the top. Do you know what? If I'm talking really quick, I think it's because I'm trying to talk in time with the music.
It's like, are you listening to it right now?
Yeah, yeah. It's like it's been pasted over the top. It just does not fit. And then after that, it just goes into like a really just like explicit rap song that's got like nothing to do with it. There's no similar like musical crossover between the band. And I think it's just literally so... What they've 2014, they've like, oh, this band, the 1975, they're massive, they're really cool. Let's just pick a sample of one of their songs, paste it on our song. We'll have the 1975. We'll have the 1975 as a featured artist. It'll bring more people to like the song. I mean, I think that is literally it.
I do think though that the I think back then Travis Scott and the 1975 would have been at a similar level, and they've probably both been a bit. Superficial is probably the wrong word, a bit shallow in going, yeah,
it's a marketing thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, but you, I bet now Matt Healy wouldn't do that. But at the time, they were like, no. Holy shit, the whole rap game, sick. And in other news, check out Drive as well, because that's Drive, Travis Scott, and the lyrics to that are a total fucking vibe.
Yeah, I think it is that thing of like it's superficial. I think is a good word for it, because the sample of Money isn't offering anything to that song. And like you say, like now you know songs that the 1975 would feature on, like the obviously Narcissist stuff like that. They would
absolute jam, mate.
I mean, yeah, great song, but they would only feature on stuff that they would have, like a sort of. They would have like an influence on that song. They would be a part of its production, its writing, whatever. They won't have played any part in this song. The producers of this song have just taken that from Money and just put it in.
100%, and, yeah.
Do you know what? I've got a lot of time for Travis Scott as well. Like, I think he's got some great songs. But this is just
not this one.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah. Yeah, the 1975 are not asked about that song, are they?
No.
The thing is that they've just sampled that, and Travis Scott's been who he always would have been. Whereas in that Drive, where Matt Healy features on the Travis Scott song, he's really feeling a different side to his musicality. Like he's singing. It's not a rap, but it is. It's like a very hip hop thing. It's talking about drugs, and it's clearly is the wrong word, but really just graphically is also the wrong word. I don't know, just so openly talking about drugs though in a way that he couldn't really on a 1975 song. And I think if you're going to feature on somebody else's shit, that is your opportunity to do that. And I think that is a real beautiful outlet. But yeah, the use of Money is just it's just pointless.
I think it's one of the negative things you get about pop music, because it's like it's almost like it's such an obvious reference. It's like there's no creativity in that. To me, there's no creativity in just slapping the chorus of Money at the start of your song, isolate the vocal, and then just do the rest of your song.
Especially when it's such a bad song.
Yeah,
it's almost like we said before. It's almost like objectively bad. Like it's just
a poor excuse, isn't it? Of
yeah.
There's no artistic quality to it, is there? Like you're saying, it's just been added for the sake of it.
Yeah. So, final thoughts on Money.
We discussed like it's important for albums and live sets and stuff to ebb and flow between different vibes, speeds, like. Different just levels of what a song is. And so Money's a great song which allows for things to be slowed down a little and not just be constantly, she's got a boyfriend anyway. And just lets it chill for a minute. It's musically, it harps back to those synth tracks from the EPs, which is nice, and sort of brings that back into it. Especially if you think how it sits on the album, like you go 1975, the song, and then the city, and then money, and it just the synthy parts reference that song and the EPs before it. And then, yeah, it is what it is on the album for me. I think it's a good song. By a lot of bands, it'd be an amazing song, but by the 1975, it's just a good song. But it sets the scene for what comes next and gives you a bit of a palate cleanser between the city and Chocolate.
I think that's a very good summary. I would say that music, it is lyrically much stronger than it is musically, but that's an artistic choice. I'm saying, like, you know where I'm going with that, don't you?
Yeah,
and that's all I've got.
Who
to say.
Us are the audience?
We'll add in some kind of applause.
Yeah, so that's not really much to say on the matter, but I think that's all I've got, really. It's just, it's lyrically very, very strong, and I really like it.
Is it? No, but it is like that. It's like a rap song in that sense.
Yeah.
It's not lyrics first, I don't think, in the way that a lot of the songs are.
No, I don't. Yeah, I agree.
But it is a lyrical, take those lyrics away and put something that was really meaningless and didn't really mean a lot to somebody, or tell a story in the way that Matt tells his story. What am I trying to say? A lot of songwriters, a lot of singers could have fucked this song up and say this song was a 5, you know, Matt Healy's made it an 8 and somebody else could have took it down and made it a 3 and it could have gone either way. And I think that's important. Like, making a rap beat is making, you know, half a song. And if you've got a shit rapper, he's going to take it down. And if you've got Kanye West on it, it's probably going to make it a bit better. And I think that's, you know, that sort of way of looking at this song is like a hip hop song in a lot of ways.
I think, yeah, that's it. Like you say, it's like a hip hop song, but I think it shows off their influences. Like, we know, like, the myriad of, like, genres and bands and artists that they are influenced by. But this is, like, a focus sort of, like, right, we'll listen to, like, these sort of artists. Let's do our interpretation on this style of music. And they've done it. Mm. They've done the rap, but instead they're rapping about their experience of nights out in Manchester. You know, people breaking the phone on the floor, people's, like, sort of getting thrown out of clubs, jumping the fences to get into clubs and bars and stuff like that. It's just their own interpretation of it. Musically, yeah. Again, it's just another facet that they're showing off. Like, not showing off, but you know what I mean? It's like the sort of, they can do this. I think it's an extension of the EPs. I think it takes it even further. Because you've got stuff on there like Undo, Face Down, which are all massively electronic stuff. But this is more in that sort of really like poppy hip-hop style. And it's just like their sort of like black and white, darker sort of their take on it.
I disagree. I don't imagine. Bit deep.
Well, that's what it's all about.
No, says I'm joking. Says me, I love it.
Right, track 3 is done. Let's just see the track listing. What's next? Let's see if it's anything we've heard of.
Is it anything?
Not,
right,
probably
or?
Not.
I don't know. Let's see. What song is it? Oh, it's.
Listen, if it's never appeared on FIFA, I'm not interested.
So next week, Chocolate. Do you know what? First of all, I am a little bit sad that we're doing this by Skype, not in person.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right, so next week is Chocolate, which I think we should schedule a full day for, because quite a lot to say about that one.
Yeah, it's all right, isn't it?
I actually, just a very quick sort of prelude to it. I always underestimate how much I like chocolate. Because obviously we all know it's amazing. We all know it's amazing, but I never think of it in like that real top tier of ones that I listen to. Mm. But it really is like
a lot. I feel like it's overplayed, or maybe that's just overplayed by me. Maybe overplayed by radio because it's probably the one that's got the most radio play. But then when I actually do hear it, I'm like, nah, yeah, I'm all right.
I think that's it, you know. But yeah, I'm sure we're going to have loads to say about that. You two especially are going to have a lot to say about chocolate.
God, I can't stop fucking hiccuping.
I'm leaving now. Right, so thank you for listening. Thanks to everyone around the world who has listened so far. We're really like proud that so many people have listened so far. I think it's way more than we were expecting as well, which is great.
Yeah, and none of them are our mums, which it makes it really rewarding.
What? My mum lives in Zaragoza, so I think she's been listening over there.
So if you want to get in touch with us, you can tweet us at the 1975 pod on Twitter, or you can email us at pauseitplaypod@gmail.com. Send in stories about how you discovered the band, any thoughts so far on what we've discussed so far, any songs, the EP, stuff like that. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Josh William without the vowels. Matt, do you want to go through your weekly garb about your Twitter and Instagram handle?
I should clear my throat first because we'll be here all day. Okay.
Before you do it, right? I feel like this should grow and grow, like start having its own like theme music and like be like shown a different way. Do you know like that the harp sound like when something like gets the clouds over it on TV and like fades into a story? Do you know what I mean? I really feel like this could be like a thing. But go on.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, I hope you've got your pens and papers at the ready. So, my Twitter and Instagram handle is Junior, spelt J-E-W, Jew, like the follower of the Jewish religion, knee, like the bend in your leg, O-R, like either or, so that is Jew, knee, or, Junior. Thanks for listening.
We should time that against you just saying it through the phonetic alphabet. Like, Juliet Echo.
Yeah. I'll actually put them in the show notes for once, you know. I never do. Just a weekly message that Dan abstains from social media, so you can only find his thoughts here every week.
I'm like exclusive.
Exclusive to the pod.
To this, you know what I mean? If you want more of me, then I'm here. Also, if you want less of me, though, you have to go away. But don't stay.
Dan has the same social media presence he did in 1997.
I was big then.
Right, yeah. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Matt's just sent a picture of the 1975 in 2012-ish.
Yeah, that's their first ever headline show. So that's why...
Holy shit!
That's why he's taking a picture of the crowd, because obviously it was a key moment for him.
Right, thank you everybody for listening. We will be back next week with Chocolate.
Yes, we will.
So thank you, and we shall see you then.
See you next week, although we won't see you. Bye.
Love you. Fuck you, Corona.